Hey, this is Photography in Society, their podcast by the Master Program under the same name at the Royal Academy of the Art in The Hague.
What does it mean to do research as a visual maker?
In what ways can research be conducted?
How can making things guide thinking processes and vice versa? These are some of the guiding questions behind Unstill, the season of our podcast focusing on the research processes and works of the graduates of 2023.
Absence. Earthquake. Distance, to memory, and to be an outsider, responsibility, post-memory. My name is He Bo, and actually in Chinese we pronounce it like He Bo. So He or He is my family name, and in the tradition of China, we put the family name before the first name. I take photos, and I also use archive photos. So it can be photos in the mass media, it can be my own family photos. I'm interested in themes such as disaster. And also I'm very curious about the relationship between text and images, and also how photography constructed the power structure and built history. From 2007 to 2011, I was in my bachelor degree on the photojournalism. After that, I went to my first master degree on photography. From 2015 to 2016, I was teaching the history of photography and curation. And after that, I spent 5 years as a photographic magazine editor in Beijing. And then I quit my job. I came to The Hague. In May 12, 2008, there was a very huge earthquake in my hometown in Sichuan province in China. Nearly 17,000 people died. But at that moment, I was not at home. I was far away in another city to study. So after that, I really feel that my absence, my distance, caused a lot of maybe small problem for me to identify myself as Sichuan. There were a lot of years I went back to the ruins to take photos, to try to feel some atmosphere. But for me, this kind of distance, I cannot understand their memory, their feelings, is always there. In Wish You Happy, I choose two group photos about the victims in the earthquake. The first photo is about the sisters and brothers who took the group photo before the maybe 1 year before the earthquake. So it was from one lady. So in one interview, she brought this photo to the journalist to recall her memory about that earthquake. In this group photo, there are her sisters and her little brother. So some of them are dead or missing because of the earthquake, and only two or three still alive. She told her story, and for me, I looked at this photo for a very long time. Gradually, I feel there are a lot of things I want to talk with them. And also, when I looking at this kind of landscape, I went to this small county 1 year before the earthquake, and so I can share the memory of this landscape. The second photo is about one young female teacher with her students. She tried to save the life of her student, and finally she sacrificed her life in that moment. So based on this photo, I started to construct my idea how I will make it in as my graduate project. And I simplify those photos and color into different single color area, and use very small Chinese characters to write text on the image and try to reconstruct those images. I wrote three layers of what I'm thinking of this photo. The first, as a viewer, my direct reaction about what I see. So, for example, I see this man's chubby face is very, very familiar with other middle-aged men in my hometown. It's this kind of very kind and a very kind of shy face. It is the first layer. And the second layer, as a photographer, I will try to image or guess in that moment when they take the photos, what happened or why they choose to like stand in this way. And the third layer is as local people, how my reaction evoked by those landscape or those, for example, those roads. Around these three layers, I just wrote the text. This process also helped me to discover something new. It is the first time for me to totally open myself, my memory, and also to directly think about this earthquake. Where am I in this narrative of the earthquake, and what can I do more about the earthquake? My graduate project contains several aspects. So the first one, based on this group photo. The second part is about the ethics of photojournalism. I found a photo footage shot by different cameramen at the day of the earthquake. By watching the video, I found a lot of very interesting and meaningful moments about at that very extreme disaster moment, how the professional people choose their methods or their point of view to record those scenarios. So there are some very small moments, such as one TV cameraman keep on shooting the people who rescue other victims. And they also keep on bringing some dead bodies from the ruins. So we can see the lens is always focused on the dead bodies. Suddenly, I have there are two sides to this phenomenon. On the one hand, and without those very direct document image, we cannot know what happened at the moment. But on the other hand, do such a cruel way to show the real deaths, because as we know, in the area of documentary photography, there are a long time photographers do not directly show the dead to the people. So there are other examples about that footage of the video. And the third one is about the photos after the earthquake until now. It's about the photographic actions in the earthquake ruins. So I went to some earthquake ruins and take some photos about the tourists who taking photos during their travel. Most of them are basically outsiders. So I'm very curious how this kind of so-called dark tourism site linked to the normal tourists. And also I noticed there are still a lot of people who didn't use smartphone or camera. They just very quietly walk in the ruins. Some of them are the survivors or the relatives of the victims. So they will go back to the ruins just to memorize or to worship their dead or gone relatives. I linked the earthquake with the nowadays the situation of some Chinese people, because last year I didn't have the chance to go back to China to shoot some photo because there was still the lockdown policy in China, and there were a lot of very harsh policy and very ridiculous things happened. Based on these things, we saw the beauty of some Chinese people's personality, and also we saw some very ugly, very dirty way of other Chinese people treat our own people. That made me very sad and very upset. So I focus on one small thing. It was about another kind of strong earthquake hit also Sichuan province during the lockdown. And because the resident cannot go out of the community, but they try to escape from their the buildings to some area. It is a very natural reaction of Sichuan people after that earthquake. But there was a guy, maybe a very fundamental small leader, and keep locking the gate of the community. He didn't allow the people go out, and also he shouted to the people, have this building fell down. If this building fell down, there will be the government and the other people responsible to you. So this video is very widespread on the internet. There were a lot of Sichuanese people feel very angry. So based on this story, I brought the image of this guy to the real ruin, and on the very small hill, I made him face to these ruins. Yeah. Try to make him also in the metaphor way to face the real history. And maybe it was also his own memory, because his own local people. So why we forget those things such quickly, and why we cannot emphasize with other people? I think he have the two reasons. Maybe he forgot, and maybe he's just try to do his own job, because if he didn't do that, he will lose his own position, his own safety. So it is not good logic in nowadays in my people's daily life. Sometimes we cannot help people, sometimes we cannot share the common sense, not because we don't want to do that, but because of other reasons. I went to Auschwitz at the beginning of the of my graduate project's preparation. The reason is also, firstly, I cannot go back to China that at that time, and also in that very harsh time period of the lockdown in China, I tried to use a way to make maybe some Chinese audience notice that it is not good for keeping the distance to other people's suffering or other people's pain, because at that moment, some Chinese people just use very soft, sweet, like candies, words, languages to talk with other people who were suffering in another city because of the COVID and also because of some very harsh local policies. Some people started to use some food names to represent some cities which was in the struggling with COVID. Some people use noodles, use dumplings, which are the traditional food of those cities. And they said, noodle, cheer up, and the dumpling, cheer up, for the people in those cities. Actually, at first, this was kind of very nice way to really cheer up the people, to make them feel good. But gradually, this kind of logic to cheer up become more and more, and then we can feel that some people just see this kind of words, but they went, after seeing that they just maybe think, oh, it's enough, I will not do any other things, and to try to really help the people who need, and also for some people they just avoid to see the what really happened. They just they built a very like pink soft cover. So I went to Auschwitz because for me, as a outsider of the real European history, even though I know that tragedy from the history book, but we Chinese people didn't have the experience about how the Holocaust happened. So it is also about the distance or absence. So I went to Auschwitz to different rooms to repeat this logic of the food plus cheer up. But I replaced the food name from the Chinese food to some Jewish traditional food, like challah bread, cheer up, to spoke those words. Yeah, and maybe one little thing should be mentioned is about after that, I show those this video to my classmates. So it really made some European classmates angry, or at least confused. They said, why you did that? And some of them said, no, it's not correct for you to do that. So at that moment, I feel that, oh, maybe I did it right, because in that moment, I didn't put my own into the position of the victims of the Auschwitz. Instead, I just put myself as maybe as a tourist, as outsider, have nothing to do with this extremely tragedy event, tragedy accident. In this case, me as an outsider faced to the European audience equals to those Chinese people faced to other Chinese people who suffering in that moment. Thank you. it is very important for me to go back to the ruins to talk to the local people, to absorb their experience and the knowledge, to bring them back to my thesis writing. Because before I, even though I very often went back to the ruins, but I only just took photos, not talking with some local people. But this time, I think those communication makes me really go out my own experience and to see the outcome or the aftermath during these 15 years and their impact on those different local people. I started an open call during my research of this topic because for me, firstly, I can hardly find a lot of resource or images about the earthquake, even though from the government side. And until now, when it comes the 50th year, now we can only see some very official memorized video about that moment. I really believe there are a lot of very valuable private images on that moment or about that. And also, I think it is really important for us to know the very specific, private, personal story memories to help us to shape this memory or post-memory. Post-memory is this idea. It comes from Mariana Hirsch. She's a historian, and also she's studying on the photography. And this word she used to describe the new generation of the Jewish people who suffered or survived from the Holocaust. So this newborn generation, they didn't themselves experience that tragedy, but their parents, their relatives, tell a lot of stories and other archive proof for them to build their own understanding of the Holocaust. So I borrow this idea to my own thesis, and to I kind of extend this idea into the people, including me, who didn't directly experience this earthquake, but also we can build our memory from other people's story and also from images. So I launched this open call. So this will not be an exhibition, but firstly, I plan to gather some individual stories and photos for me to analyze in my thesis. And then I think after my thesis and after graduation, I really want to continue to gather this material. For now, I don't know how should I use it, but I think it should be one database for those things, and maybe later for other people to see, to remember, to talk about it.
Thank you for listening to Unstill, a season of Photography and Society, the podcast by the master program under the same name at the Royal Academy of the Art, The Hague.
If you are curious to hear more about the research processes of the graduating students of 2023, listen to the remaining episodes from this season.
This season was designed and produced by Sophie Allerding
and Emilia Martin.